In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Boy, it's a thrill to be back here with you again today. Love doing this show each and every day. And today was an awesome day for me. Actually, I woke up with a little bit of a hip flexor, as I guess my wife called it. And, you know, getting old. I'm like, wow, like that's a new pain, you know, but it's okay. I was still able to go on my walk today and everything. And my wife, who of course is a runner, gave me some exercises I can do to kind of stretch out that hip flexor a little bit there. So it ended up being fine. I'm feeling pretty good now. Also went to confession today and a little bit sad. I was glad to receive the sacrament of reconciliation and mercy. That's the good part. But I went to the Dominican Priory where I usually always go for a confession. And but this is the first time that I've gone there since the death of Father Brian Milady. You know, I used to go there all the time. We used to, you know, I used to meet him for spiritual direction, or we used to meet there at the priory and go to lunch, you know, walk to lunch or wherever. And so that was kind of our meeting place, you know. And so this is the first time that I've been back there since his passing. And so a little bit sad. I was thinking about him a lot today while I was waiting in line for confession. And so I'm still remembering him in my heart, my prayers, and ran a few errands. I bought some things over in the pilgrimages in Portugal, Spain, France, Greece, and Turkey, and I sent them to my goddaughter. Sent those off to her today, because I missed her high school graduation, obviously, because I was out of the country, and so I was thinking about her the whole time I was gone, and put a little gift package together for her and sent that off to her today. Trying to get, I got so much to do and not enough time, as they say, but it's okay. It's all working in God's time. So I'm going to Prosper, Texas on Thursday. Going to speak at a men's conference there. Then I'll be back for like a day and a half and then head off to the overseas trip, Australia, Papua New Guinea, and the Philippines, then fly directly from there, directly to Dallas, Texas, to participate in the Guadalupe Radio 25th anniversary celebration. Get off the plane from the Philippines in Dallas. So yeah, another busy few weeks coming up for me. So I'm just trying to get a lot of stuff done today. So grateful about that. And I'm also incredibly grateful. We have an awesome, awesome guest today. Dr. Shane Owens. If you don't know who he is, you will after this show. An awesome theologian. He teaches theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville and also is a fellow, I guess you call it a fellow, at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology with Scott Hahn and Dr. John Bergsma and Kimberly Hahn and Mike Ocolina. We're the founders of the St. Paul Center, and Dr. Shane Owens is a part of the center, and I met him for the first time last fall. I spoke at the Deacon's retreat there, as did Dr. Owens, and I got a chance to meet him for the first time and sit on a panel with him. And his area of expertise is in Saint Augustine. And so we're going to talk about Saint Augustine's Confessions and us today on Beacon of Truth. The thing about, well, a couple of things. First of all, Saint Augustine, unquestionably one of the greatest doctors of the church. There's no question about that. In fact, if you pray the Liturgy of the Hours every day, I didn't actually count, but I say this anecdotally because I've been praying the Liturgy of the Hours, like the full office, including vigils, or what do you call it? Office of readings. I still call it the monastic names. I like vigils better. I think most, again, anecdotally, I think most of those readings are from St. Augustine. It seems like almost every other day the readings from St. Augustine. And of course, his classic work, The Confessions, which is not just studied at Catholic schools and universities, but secular university study as part of philosophy or just classical works of literature, the Confessions. I mean, it's just an incredible, incredible work. So so Dr. Owen is going to help us make a connection between St. Augustine's Confessions and us, to make that deeper connection with this amazing saint of God. And of course, his mother, St. Monica, who prayed for him and for his conversion. So again, mother's prayers are very, very powerful. Dr. Shane Owens is going to be our guest here on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. If you have any questions about St. Augustine at all, you know, or about the Confessions, would love, love, love to hear from you today. Give us a call, my friends, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also send us an email, beacon@EWTN.com. Now, yes, today, obviously, is a solemnity of the Nativity of John the Baptist. And we talked about all about that yesterday because of Dr. Owens being on with us today. But we did get a question. We had a caller call in yesterday, and we did not, unfortunately, because of time, was not able to get to his call. But he had a question. How do we know today is John the Baptist's birthday? Well, the thing is, we don't know. Like exactly like the day, because first of all, they didn't count days the way, or months the way we understand them today. And the idea is symbolic. So for example, Jesus, you know, probably was not born exactly on December 25th, you know, year one. Okay. That's, I mean, so the reason why it's December 25th is because, that's also near the winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year. In other words, that's the day we have the least amount of sunlight. And the point is, when we're in the darkness, when there's the you know, we're in, where the world is enveloped in this darkness, it's then that the God's penetrating light of truth will come into the world. Right. So the idea is that Christmas is during the time of the year where there's most amount of darkness. God gives us his light. For example, we know Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, you know, the Benedictus, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. So that light comes in. And so the church works from there. So if you go back, March 25th is the feast of the Annunciation. Why? Because it's 9 months from the from Christmas, right? So a woman is pregnant for 9 months. You know, we know that when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, Elizabeth was already in her second trimester. And so today, so if you count back from March, from we went in March Annunciation, then she went and stayed with her for 3 months. That means she would have had the baby right about now, which is why today's celebrated is John the Baptist's birthday. So it's not a matter of being exactly the date. That doesn't matter. It's the idea is the symbolism behind it. And we celebrate these amazing solemnities. Again, a great privilege to celebrate the Nativity of John the Baptist, because the only other birthdays we celebrate are Jesus and Mary, right? And then John the Baptist. So that's the answer there. All right. So great to have a wonderful crew bringing this show every day. And again, guest screening your calls today. Our guest call screener, Tom Price, is on the phones today. And of course, Michael McCall doing social media. And of course, we have our ace in the hole, Ace McKay. How you doing today, brother?
It's a matter of how far into the hole that I have gotten myself.
Hopefully not too far.
Not too far. So I've been meaning to ask you, I know we talk about music a lot on this show, but you've never really talked much about like music that was on in the house, like when you were growing up. Like, what was your mom listening to? What was kind of that soundtrack that she kind of laid down the foundation for you?
Yeah, it was definitely Caribbean music for sure. I mean, my father was a Calypsonian. My father was a professional musician, singer, and songwriter. So music was just it was just constantly in the house, mostly like the Mighty Sparrow. You know, and folks like Harry Belafonte, even my dad performed at the Apollo, actually, you know, so music was a constant. My dad, you know, being there while he's writing songs and playing guitar, and, you know, my mom, of course, also from, I mean, we're first generation. I was born there.
Yeah.
And so my mom listening to that kind of music, Caribbean calypso, soca music was just a part of it. And so rhythm and blues, you know, when we came to the United States and listened to American music, blues, R&B, rock just fit perfectly into the genre that I was already used to.
Yeah. I guess there's no footage of your dad at the Apollo. I mean, just given
No, there is. The only video is like later in his career. There's a video out there that's on YouTube, but not the Apollo gig, no.
Okay.
No, man, that's too bad.
To be a fly on the wall.
I know, right? Oh, God, that would have been awesome. All right, my friends, we have Dr. Shane Owens, professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. He is an expert on St. Augustine. We're going to talk about St. Augustine's Confessions and us. Would love to hear from you, 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-EW10. 3986. Yeah.
Wait for it. Woo! Can you tell me why you were speeding, sir? Well.
I can tell you, someone used to pull people over. We never had music playing in our heads.
Right. I'm sure, but was that an excuse? Did people really try to use that? Oh, the song just got away from me.
I'm trying. In my experience, no. Usually it was some other kind of lame excuse.
Yeah. Potty break, my mom had a heart attack, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I even had a woman once say she was on her menstrual cycle. She was trying to get someplace to take care of her feminine things and stuff like that to get out of the ticket. I'm like,
wow.
I actually think I let her slide. I think that was so unique.
Sure.
That excuse, I said, okay, I got to give you that one. That one, that's hilarious. So
we're not endorsing that you should try that. We're just
right. Yeah, don't do that. Don't try this at home.
Yeah.
But that was, I just thought that was fun. But
that's
anyway.
Amazing.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Siri's listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have an awesome guest on, Dr. Shane Owens, professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. And also, I guess you would say a fellow, he'll correct me later, at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Today we're going to talk about St. Augustine's Confessions and Us, one of the great works of literature in history. St. Augustine's Confessions. We're going to talk about that and its connection to us today. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, if you missed our time with Matthew Bunsen on Friday, it's okay. Not only can you go back and listen, Podcast Central, but you can also check out the reason why he was joining us. He has a book about Pope Leo XIV, and you, of course, can read all about it. You can check it out in the religious catalog. Easy to find when you just search for Louis XIV or Matthew Bunsen. Any and all of his books are there as well, but you can always get free standard shipping with $75 or more. Use the code word free at EWTNRC.com.
All right, my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the books from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, the Sefer Telachim, or the Book of Sung Praises, the liturgical hymnal for our Jewish brothers and sisters, and for us as well. Why? We hear the Psalms in each and every holy sacrifice of the Mass. And what we do on this segment, the Soulful Psalms, we connect the Psalms to your everyday lived experience. Well, today we're going to continue our look at Psalm 42. So Psalm 42 is in book 2 of the Psalms 42 to 72. Psalms 42 to 49 are by the sons of Korah. And so remember that Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron in Numbers chapter 16. It said that the ground opened and Korah and his family went down alive to Sheol. The followers of Korah were swallowed up by fire from heaven. The only ones that survived were the sons of Korah. Actually, not the physical sons, but those who did not, followers of Korah who did not rebel. Those are the sons of Korah. Numbers chapter 26, verse 11. We can see them. And they became superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple, but also caretakers and custodians of the sacred vessels and vestments that were used in the worship of God in the temple. And also Korah means baldness in Hebrew. So so we're going to pick up at verse 10. And the first line just simply says, Lemenzeach maskil livni Korah. So for the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. And again, maskil means enlightened one or scholar, but we don't know. That's what it means now. We don't know what that would have meant specifically back at the time that these psalms were written. And this is the one that starts off like the deer that yearns for running streams. So my soul is yearning for you, my God. Right. I love that. I every time we get this, I'm like, yes, because I know that that the verse, verse two is coming there. But we're going to pick up at verse 10. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning, oppressed by the foe? Right. So sometimes as we're searching for a deeper relationship with God, we're starting to question when certain things happen in our life, when things aren't going our way, where the death of a loved one, an illness or something going on at work. There's some kind of something that's causing us anxiety, something that's causing us angst, you know, and in those times we cry out to the Lord. And again, we sometimes attribute human we make human attributions to God in order to understand God. Again, from our limited human knowledge and experience and words, you know, try to articulate how we're feeling. God, why have you forgotten me? Obviously, God's never actually literally forgetting us, but it feels like God has forgotten us. It feels like God has, in a sense, turned his back on us. You know, and so the sons of Korah here are reflecting on their experience. They're calling out to God. Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning, oppressed by the foe? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? You know, it's like Jesus praying Psalm 31 on the cross. I mean, Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Obviously, God the Father has never forsaken his son, right? But in praying that Psalm, it's the expression, it feels that way, but it's not part of the reality. Again, trying to make that deeper connection between us and God. And one of the people who did that in an incredible way, in an amazing and beautiful way, is Saint Augustine, who chronicled his journey, his faith journey, in his classic work of literature, The Confessions. And here to talk to us about The Confessions of Saint Augustine is one of the leading experts in Saint Augustine. We're talking about Dr. Shane Owens. So Dr. Shane Owens is an alum of Franciscan University of Steubenville and is now a professor there. He got his master's degree there in theology and then went to the Catholic University of America, where he completed his doctoral work in historical theology and the biblical theology and ecclesiology. Ecclesiology means the understanding of the church. Of St. Augustine of Hippo is the primary focus of Dr. Owen's scholarship. He's also interested in the Franciscan intellectual tradition. He has an amazing wife, Esther, who's also an alum from Steubenville. And they have a couple of children, of course, raising them in the Steubenville area. And we're going to hear to talk about his awesome new book, which everybody should get, Return to the Heart, The Biblical Spirituality of St. Augustine's Confessions, by Emmaus Road Publishing. Again, the publishing arm of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. So, Dr. Owens, welcome to Beacon of Truth. We're so glad to have you here today.
Thank you, Deacon Harold. It's awesome to be here and join you and your whole audience, and just had this chance to talk about St. Augustine.
All right. So this is your first time on the show. So some people here, obviously they're familiar with Franciscan University of Steubenville and even the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. We've had other scholars on the show with us before, but this is your first time. So why don't you share with the audience a little bit about your faith journey? I mean, were you always Catholic? Were you a convert? How did you come to study theology? And specifically, why St. Augustine?
Yeah, wonderful questions. Yeah, so I grew up a cradle Catholic. So I was baptized as a boy. Actually, today is my name day. My name, Shane, is actually Irish for John.
And I was accompanied.
I was appropriately baptized in the feast of the baptism of the Lord. So named after John the Baptist, baptized on the feast when John the Baptist is baptizing Jesus. So this is a great spiritual day for me. So I'm excited about that. One thing I would say is, you know, I went to great Catholic schools. I had a lot of intellectual formation. I love the schooling I have. But I don't think I really gave my life over to the Lord until I was a freshman in college. I went to the University of Miami in Miami, Florida. And I think I was just confronted for the first time, not being in Catholic school, not being home, not being in this comfortable world, which is having to really give my life to the Lord and choose whether I was going to serve the Lord or serve the world. And through a wonderful priest there, Father Michael Carruthers, through wonderful campus ministers and great friendships I had, I really, that was where that took off. But as an undergrad, I was studying English literature. I was studying international studies. I thought I was going to be the next Marco Rubio, something like that. That's where, you know, that's where my passions had been. My mom was an attorney for the federal government. So that was very much this world. But really, since I was a young boy, even in middle school, I had been just really absorbed by theological questions. And I remember so many times being told by my high school or my middle school or high school theology teachers to go talk to a priest. I used to go to confession on Fridays at my high school, yes, to confess my sins, but also because it was one of the few times I could corner a priest and he couldn't get away and I could ask him all my questions. And God be praised, I had some patient priests at that time. So I think I came to Franciscan University of Steubenville wanting to study theology in a way just to answer questions. I don't think I knew it was going to be my career. There was a thought. There's a lot of PhDs in my family in other fields, but there are PhDs in my family, so that was a possibility. But I knew I needed to answer those questions for my own faith life, for my own understanding. St. Augustine is somewhat autobiographical. Growing up in North Florida, I grew up in Jacksonville. It's part of the Diocese of St. Augustine. So the city founded 450-something years ago by Spanish missionaries named after St. Augustine, going to the Cathedral Basilica as a boy. I could look up in the Cathedral Basilica. We'd go multiple times a year. And his life story is in stained glass windows around the Cathedral Basilica. So I think I had this connection with him. But also in high school and college, I did speech and debate. So Augustine, who's this great orator, great speaker, great rhetorician, great lawyer, I think I had this kind of connection to him. And what's interesting is as the years have gone on and I've studied Augustine more and more deeply, I've come to realize that these theological kind of suspicions I had as a young boy are actually quite resonant with his own thinking. And so that has come. And I think what I've also deepened in my appreciation is so much of his work is about the human person, is about identity, about coming to encounter a God who wants to, you know, who kind of pursues us, who finds us and draws us to himself, the concern with the human heart and with grace, all these things that are so prominent in Augustine's life just resonated with me. And he's become a kind of lifelong companion and friend to me.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. And I mean, I'm so excited to dive in to St. Augustine. Like I said, in the Liturgy of the Hours, you know, the Office of Readings, there's so many readings from Augustine. I'm like, man, I mean, and which is awesome that the church, and what I love about him, he's very accessible. You know, You think of a guy with a tremendous intellect like that, you know, sometimes could be over your head. Like, I mean, sometimes Aquinas is like that, you know, they read the Summa and things like that. Like, wait, we have to go back and read it twice. Or John Paul II, like the acting person and things like that. You have to like, wait, what did he just say? You know, but with Augustine, it's just beautiful how accessible he is, how readable he is, how relatable he is, you know, with a guy with such tremendous intellect. And that's what I love about him, and particularly love reading him in the vigils, that second reading, like after Easter, because he has this whole Pope mystagogy reflections, mm-hmm. and those are just awesome. I mean, so I'm so excited to dive into St. Augustine today on the program. All right, my friends. Man, you heard it here first. Dr. Shane Owens in his awesome, awesome new book, Return to the Heart, The Biblical Spirituality of St. Augustine's Confessions. We're going to connect St. Augustine's Confessions to our life and our lived experience. That's by Emmaus Road Publishing. Can't wait to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Yeah! That's a first.
That is. I've been waiting like a week to play this. I can't wait. Like Christmas morning.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Beacon of Truth alarm clock.
Yeah, there you go.
Get yours, KTEL Records.
Sample that. That'll be my my ringtone or something like that.
Please, at least if I call you, it should be that.
That's awesome. Oh, that's awesome. What a way to bring us back from the break.
That's right.
Awesome.
Could you remember the time when we used to pay for ringtones?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And now everyone's phone is perpetually on silent. No one of us would ever pay $30 for 30 seconds.
That is so
my little
true.
Flip phone.
I only know one guy who actually uses the sounds and rings on his phone because he has two of them and he's a sound guy. So it makes sense. It's like he's used to sound. He, you know, vibrations and silence make him nervous. So he needs to know, oh, that's this phone. Oh, that's this phone.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have Dr. Shane Owens. I make a correction. Dr. Shane Owens was on the show before. One of our April 2024 episodes, we talked about Emmaus Academy, which is the kind of online school at this Emmaus, St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. And we talked about Emmaus Academy and how you can take classes online there. How Dr. Owens has class. I have a class on evangelization. Dr. Owens and Dr. Bergsma and Dr. Han and Kimberly Han and so many others are on there. So he was on before. But now he's on talking about his awesome, awesome book about St. Augustine, and really to introduce us more deeply to the spirituality of St. Augustine, Return to the Heart, the Biblical Spirituality of St. Augustine's Confessions by Emmaus Road Publishing, which is the publishing arm of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Would love to hear from you today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, don't forget the wisdoms and wits of Dr. Ray Guarendi with the Doctor is In tomorrow at 1 Eastern. You can, of course, call in, be a part of the show. For those that dare to brave, you're always welcome to join in. Dr. Ray exclusively on EWTN Radio.
All right. We're with Dr. Shane Owens, a professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and also, a fellow at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. And we're here to talk about St. Augustine's Confessions and Us, based on, again, his awesome new book, Return to the Heart, the Biblical Spirituality of St. Augustine's Confessions. And so, Dr. Owens, obviously, those of us who study theology are familiar with the faith know who St. Augustine is. But now we have a new generation of Catholics, younger Catholics, who didn't grow up even in high school, unless they're homeschooled. But typically, they're not familiar with St. Augustine, or they're not familiar with his confessions. So I think one of the things that I think your book would be awesome for is to introduce this new generation of young Catholics to the life and the spirituality of St. Augustine's Confessions. Is that one of the things you're trying to do with the book?
Most definitely. I mean, and I think we now have an invitation in our first American Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, who himself is an Augustinian. And I thought it was quite providential in my book after, you know, years writing a book and you pray about it and you think about it and you write it. And it came out and 2 weeks later, we have an Augustinian Pope, right? So there is something, kind of a divine endorsement of sorts. But that was one of my goals is, you know, people I go speak like yourself, I at parishes or do an Advent mission or a Lenten mission, things like this. And people go, okay, you're an Augustine scholar. What should I read? And always without fail, the thing that you want to recommend. And I've seen multiple videos of Pope Leo prior to being Pope where he's talking about Augustine. And the thing he's always going to recommend is St. Augustine's Confessions. It's this great masterpiece. It's the first autobiography in history, right? There's something really special about it. But it's admittedly a kind of difficult text. So I think people get intimidated by it. It's got a lot of ideas going on. I do think it's super relatable, but there's so many things happening that people can read 10 pages of it. And so what I wanted to do is, okay, why are people like Pope Leo XIV? Why are people like myself, you know, all these other people in the Catholic world, yourself, who love Augustine, who read him all the time, why are we going to recommend this text? Why do we think everyone should read it? And I think, in particular, why should a high schooler read it? I mean, I think it's almost one of the perfect ages to put St. Augustine's Confessions in people. But really, you could be on your deathbed, and it'd be a great time to read St. Augustine's Confessions. And so what I wanted to do in the book is, I didn't want it primarily to be a textbook. I didn't want it to feel like something where this is only for a classroom. One of the great compliments I've received, and even Dr. Scott Hahn, dear friend, mentor, you know, I interact with him a lot. He, of course, oversaw the publishing of this book. He told me, and he said multiple times to me now, that what he found himself having to do is he had to take the book to his holy hours, right? That was like the right place for the reading of the book, right? So it's not for classroom, it's for prayer. What I wanted to do is by taking out just eight themes, the human person, memory, sin, friendship, belief, death, Jesus, the church, right? Take these eight themes and just say, okay, what are the spiritual and biblical riches of what Augustine gives us in the Confessions around these eight themes? So that if you never read the Confessions, or maybe this is what prepares you for the reading of the Confessions yourself, that you can have what I think is just this wonderful spiritual vision that really not only helps you understand Jesus, but helps you understand yourself and find the wholeness and the peace and the rest that all of us as human persons seek.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that has drawn me to St. Augustine over the years is just how real he is. I'm going to exaggerate a little bit here, but usually when you read about the saints, oh, this person was, he came out of the womb with a halo on, and they were wrapped in prayer at 3 years old, and he's like, wow, that's amazing, but I can't relate to that. But Augustine, I mean, he enjoyed the pleasures of life. He had a kid out of wedlock, you know. And I mean, it's like, whoa, hold on. You know, and so right away you can say, wait a minute. You know, this guy was a sinner. All the saints are sinners, right? And we only overcome sin by the grace and the mercy of our Lord, mm-hmm. of course. But St. Augustine, in a way, it touches that human component, the human reality of, wait a minute. You know, this guy did some stuff, you know, and what when he finally opened his heart to receive what the Lord was giving, obviously, again, through part of it, through the intercession of prayers of his mother, St. Monica, you know, and look what God did with him. That mm-hmm. gives me so much hope that, yes, we make mistakes, sometimes really big, scary, messy mistakes. But God, if we're open, God is there. He's waiting for us to turn back to him. He's waiting for us to open our hearts and our lives to him. And if he can do that for St. Augustine, imagine what he can do for me. I mean, that's the kind of way I like to think about Augustine.
No, and I think that's certainly what he's trying to do in the Confessions. I mean, at a certain level, right, I think my students, when you teach it and they hear the word confessions, what they think of is what he's confessing is his sins. Yeah. And he certainly does talk about sins, but really what he's confessing is God's mercies. And he's so free in sharing his sins precisely because of what you're talking about. I think he wants to say, like, look, if God can come and find me and drag me out of my sin, the story he's always using is the prodigal son, right? He is the prodigal son who goes off to the distant country. He's living with the swine. He's you know, living pridefully, lustfully, all sorts of ways that he's failing the Lord. And if the Lord can find me, then the Lord's going to find you too. And I think he very intentionally, one of the descriptions I've heard the Confessions given is they call it an omni-biography, right? So we know a biography, an autobiography is a biography you write about yourself. That prefix omni meaning all or every. But this idea being that really what Augustine wants to do when he writes the Confessions, and I think he does this in a way where he is so relatable and you can enter into it, is he thinks he wants to write in a way that every single one of us see ourselves in the story. Like, I've been that person. I can see myself there. I know the Lord has worked this way. I know I've sinned like that. Not that we have to have the exact checklist of sins he's committed, but his way of describing why we're drawn to sin, how we get trapped in sin, how the Lord pulls us out of sin, how's that invitation encounter, how does friendship help us along the way, how does the church and the sacraments help us? I think those are all aspects that we can then connect with so that we can have hope for our own journey. He wants to nourish us. And at the time he's writing the Confessions, he's a baby bishop. He's a newly made bishop. And he knows that everyone knows this history. He was well known for his history. And so he's kind of like, look, you can't make a scandal about me. You can't write some stories about me where you say, do you know what this bishop used to do? I'm just going to put it out there. Like, this is what my life used to be like. So it's all out there in the open. But he's like, but look, this is the mercy and grace of God. And, you know, you mentioned earlier the prevalence of Augustine's writings in the Liturgy of the Hours. I think why he's used so much in the Liturgy of the Hours for the different writings, particularly in the office, is because he's a preacher. Those, and why he's so relatable, these aren't academic writings he wrote. This is him. This is his pastor's heart. This is him preaching to his faithful about the scriptures. It's him opening up the word. I mean, I loved listening to you open up the Psalter. Augustine has hundreds and hundreds of sermons on the Psalms, right? And so this is what he's doing for his faithful again and again and again. And he's doing the same thing. The Confessions is the fruit of a bishop who's looking at his faithful, and he wants to bring them to an encounter with Jesus.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking with Dr. Shane Owens, professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville and also a fellow at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. We're talking about St. Augustine's Confessions today based on his great new book, Return to the Heart: The Biblical Spirituality of St. Augustine's Confessions, opening up St. Augustine's Confessions for a whole new generation of Catholics. We'd love to hear from you today. Maybe you've been inspired by St. Augustine. And again, we have our first Holy Father who's American, and he's an Augustinian. So, his order is, based about the theology and spirituality of St. Augustine. We'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. Any questions for Dr. Shane Owens today, 833-288-3986. All right, so let me ask you this: when you were writing this book, did you obviously being an expert on St. Augustine, but do you have any like either deeper insights personally? I mean, were you moved in certain ways to a deeper understanding of Augustine, or even deeper understanding of yourself as you were writing this book and putting it together for the faithful?
No, I think that's a wonderful, great question. I mean, I think there's a few different ways that we could move in that. One thing that I think really just came home to me the more and more I wrote the book was how much the human person, myself in this case, but every human person who'd encounter this book, who encounters the Lord, is a mystery to themselves, right? That this is a fundamental part of being human. Augustine uses alternatively, he calls the human person a mystery, he calls them an enigma, he calls the human person even an abyss, right? Which is interesting, right? We're really confronted by this, and he loves that text of Romans where Paul says, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. That we're confounded. I remember I tell this story in the book that my son, who's now six, when he was a toddler, he used to always turn to me after he had like a random destructive act that toddlers have. And he looked at me, why did I do that? And I'm like, I don't know. You're the one who did it. But he was confronting the reality as a human person of like, why am I doing the things I'm doing? I don't want to do them. And I just kind of impulsively do it. And I think what I realize is so much of what Augustine's way of reading the scriptures and Augustine's way of presenting life with the Lord is, it is about ultimately helping us know ourselves. And then ultimately this desire we have to know ourselves, which even the ancient Greek Oracle of Delphi tells us to know thyself, that's really only achieved through an encounter with Jesus empowered by the Holy Spirit. And without that, we're going to remain in a kind of frustration. But that's not just about ourselves. You know, the book is called Return to the Heart. Augustine has this desire that we turn inward into our heart. But if you think of the organ of the heart is a pump, right? It contracts so that it can push blood outward through the body. And so for Augustine, the return inward, this turn inward to encounter God within in our heart is also this invitation to go out. And that if we're going to understand other people and be able to communicate ourselves to other people, that demands self-knowledge. One of the images he uses is of an infant. And he thinks there's something really illuminating. He begins his whole Confessions with talking about when he was an infant. He's like, of course, I don't remember being an infant. But he wants to begin with being an infant because the word infante is in Latin. It literally means one who's unable to speak. And what he notices is that there's something revelatory about human nature, and we never escape this the day we die, which is that infants are frustrated because they don't know how to tell you how you feel. You're a father, you know this, right? Like, is it their diaper? Are they hungry? Are they sleepy? Do they just want to be held? Are they just upset that they're not in the womb anymore? Is it too cold, too hot? So they just cry. They just cry because it's the only way. And so what happens is our whole life, we get better at words. Augustine was really good at words. We have over 5 million of his words left to us. But even then, no matter how many words we have, we're left, even with the people we love most, our spouses, we're left often feeling like our words are not enough. And so I think what Augustine realizes is that we need Jesus. We need the scriptures to begin to piece together enough so that we can know ourselves, but also so that we can begin to bridge that gap we have between ourselves and other people, to enter into communion, to enter into love and friendship. That's why there's a whole chapter in my book about friendship. It's because it's ultimately there we begin to feel a kind of wholeness. We begin to encounter the life of fullness that Jesus really desires for us.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Brixer, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking with a scholar, a renowned scholar of St. Augustine, Dr. Shane Owens, professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville and a fellow at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. We're talking about his great new book, Return to the Heart, The Biblical Spirituality of St. Augustine's Confessions, published by Emmaus Road Publishing. This is definitely a must-have book. So, Dr. Owens, let's talk a little bit more about the spirituality of St. Augustine. So, some of us may be familiar with a Benedictine spirituality or a Franciscan spirituality or a Dominican spirituality, but what is the spirituality of St. Augustine?
Right. No, these are great questions. And I think, you know, it's one of these things, again, to mention on Pope Leo XIV, it really makes us want to like ask some questions. Okay, what is he inviting us into? What is this spiritual vision that we might have in front of us? One thing very clearly to me at the outset is that a Augustinian spirituality, and of course, all these spiritualities overlap in the life of the church. It's not just because we describe one having something the others can't have it. But certainly at its heart, I think, is community and unity in the church. I mean, I think this is a huge idea that is part of Augustine's vision, is that the love and pursuit of the Lord has to happen in the life of the church and has to happen in love and charity bound with other members of the church. And one of the ways that this is signaled in the confessions in a very subtle way is if you read the first half of the confessions, almost no one has a name. He calls his mother, he calls his father, he refers to his concubine with whom he has his son, none of these figures are named. His friends of his childhood, none of them are named. And it's actually only after he begins the process of conversion, becomes a catechumen, is preparing for baptism, that the names come out. Suddenly we meet Patrick, his father, Monica, his mother, his son, Adiodatus, his friends, Alypius and Nebridius. And all of a sudden the names are percolating and just popping up everywhere, because suddenly with this encounter of God, okay, now the church, the people around him emerge as part of the story. I think that's one dimension. The second, and really at the heart of my particular book, is it's the title itself does the work for you, is this return to the heart. And maybe a way of looking at this is to turn to the scripture story of the Ascension, which we celebrated not that long ago. And I used to find the Ascension a very puzzling mystery of the rosary to pray when you confronted with it, right? It's kind of a sad one. Jesus goes away. What do we do with it? Even the disciples know what to do, right? The angels are like, what are you guys doing standing around? Go, right? Don't just stand here looking sad. I guess that's some interesting things he says about that, but there are two reasons really that we can identify for the Ascension of our Lord for Augustine. First, and the one that I think is more clear that people normally identify, is that he had to go so that he could send the Spirit with his Father, right? The Ascension leads to the Pentecost. But a second one that Augustine says, and Augustine's quite strong with this, he says that Jesus is shouting at us by his Ascension. He's shouting to us that we return to our heart, that we turn inward. Is that Jesus knew that we would be like Mary Magdalene on that first Easter Sunday, and we would rather cling to Jesus physically. We want to hold him. And if you asked us, could we, if we could give Jesus a hug, we would all want to do that. But Augustine actually says to us, no, 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 but what you don't realize is that Jesus in your heart, if you are a baptized Christian in a state of grace, Jesus dwelling in your heart is far more intimate and far greater than giving Jesus a hug. And that's hard for us to accept. And so I think part of, a huge part of this Augustinian spirituality is the turn inward, not in a kind of where you're just rationalizing, you're just talking to yourself, a kind of, or even a kind of egoism, right? But it's this turn inward that realizes in that great motto of St. John Henry Newman, cor ad cor loquitur, heart speaks unto heart, right? That there's this encounter with Jesus within. And I think that's a powerful part of that. And that one of the things that then happens when you look inward is that you begin to be able to name the works of God. There's a kind of recollection to look over your life, to examine your life and see how God is writing the story of your life. And I think that becomes kind of these characteristics that are so predominant in a vision of the spiritual life that Augustine presents to us.
Oh, beautiful. We're talking with Dr. Shane Owens today on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Brixer. We're talking about St. Augustine's Confessions, based on Dr. Owens' awesome book, Return to the Heart, The Biblical Spirituality of St. Augustine's Confessions, published by Emmaus Road Publishing. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call. Any questions you have about St. Augustine's or the Confessions, or maybe how the Confessions inspired you to live a more deep, Christ-centered spirituality, give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, one of, besides the Confessions, the other thing that I love about St. Augustine, because your book is subtitled The Biblical Spirituality of St. Augustine's Confessions. You know, so obviously you're making a connection with the Bible. What are some of those connections? I know, for example, I love Augustine's commentary on the Psalms, you know, especially when he talks about the imprecatory Psalms, because, you know, those Psalms are not included in the Liturgy of the Hours. You know, Psalms 58, 83, 109, parts of Psalm 110, parts of Psalm 136. I mean, you know, a lot of those have been taken out. But I think Augustine makes a fabulous argument for looking at those Psalms Christologically, looking at them allegorically, you know, typologically, for sin, you know, for example. And I said, yes. So, you know, I know they're working on revising Liturgy Hours. I hope they put those back in, but share some of the biblical insights into St. Augustine's Confessions.
Right. No, I think this, the Psalms are actually the best place to begin, because the text that's cited the most in the Confessions throughout the whole of it is the Psalms. I think there's something appropriate about that. It's been said of the Psalter that the Psalter is the anatomy of the human soul, right? Which is a great language, the anatomy of the human soul, in the sense that in the Psalter, you can find every expression of human emotion and passion, right? That is available. Our whole range is there in those 150 inspired prayers and songs. And so I think what Augustine found in those is, when we were talking about earlier, the infant who's frustrated to express themselves, is that what Augustine began to realize is that if he really wanted to express themselves, the scriptures were going to be the thing that helped him to do that better than anything else. We've all had the experience maybe of, I know you're a great lover of music, we were talking about that earlier in the show, but of hearing a song, we're like, that song names something that I've been trying to express for years, right? It captures nostalgia or this or that emotion, or you watch a movie or you read a book. And for Augustine, he thinks the scriptures do this better than anything else, this ability to like name something that we've been struggling to name. And so the Psalms in particular do that. And so he says himself, right, that he came through the prayers of the Psalms. He has a whole extended story about Psalm 4 and the significance of Psalm 4 in his life, helping him name a stage of his life. So I think that's an interesting thing there, that when it comes to finding the language you have, and that one of the things he thinks is revelatory about scripture is that scripture is intended to be a dialogue. That we're not just supposed to read the scriptures, we're supposed to take the scriptures and make them our own, hence the Liturgy of the Hours, or our even in the Mass, is that we take the words of scripture and we say them back to God. And even the very words of scripture are a dialogue, because they're not just written by God, they're written by God and a human author. So there's this shared dialogue, even in the very inspired writing of the scriptures. And so I think that's kind of an angle to have there.
We have a caller on, Michelle. I want to make sure we get to her question before the end of the show. Michelle calling from Fort Worth, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Michelle, welcome to Beacon of Truth. What's your question for Dr. Owens?
Hi. Thank you for having this subject. I have a grandson. He's in high school, and I noticed that Mr. Shane Owens, did I say that right, Owens?
Yes.
Wrote the book you thought that would be good for high schoolers. What about high schoolers that, my grandson was baptized, but he's not living in the faith. He wasn't really raised in the faith. Would it appeal to them who don't, that have God in their life or don't necessarily particularly care to? Would it be appealing to them?
Yeah, Michelle, thank you so much for your question and for your concern for your grandson. I mean, I hope it has a broad applicability. I mean, I think why I think Augustine in a book like mine might be helpful to him is I think I try to frame what is the problem or the challenge that Christianity and Jesus answers, I guess is one way of putting that, is from the very outset, I open the book and I talk about some of the things I mentioned this, right? The frustration in understanding ourselves, the frustration in expressing our heart, the frustration of what it is to find good friends, loneliness, confronting our own mortality. Augustine's always interested in, like, what is the problem or the thing that bothers us? And let's go talk about that. So I think it's meant to be applicable for all Christian faithful. And so I would hope it might be beneficial for him.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Owen. So how can people get a hold of this book and learn more about your work as well?
Amazon, but the best place to get it would be at stpaulcenter.com. The bookstore there will have this book readily available. And I really hope many people delight in reading it.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much again, Dr. Shane Owens, professor of theology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville and the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. All right. Tomorrow's Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking up with God's Word for this Sunday, the Saints of the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And may Almighty God bless you until we're together again. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.